Episode 266, October 17th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Yo, what's up? We mentioned last week that our Coors Light last call, Ravens post game, was our best. It's the best show you've ever had. And our buddy Captain Cupcake chimes in on Twitter. Not bad, but sports-minded Mickey Comedy and the great Tommy Cimbazzo were missed. That's the nicest thing he's ever said, is not bad.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that because it was a great show last week. I wasn't there this past Sunday. But there were some errors because, Robbie, you did a good job of posting a thank you, compiling all the footage on our Facebook and website. But there's some errors that Joe made right off the bat. And it just occurred to me that I'd like to make fun of you. But welcome to the show, everybody. The full crew, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Marcus Herta, Robbie Robinson in the building. Joe, what is new with you this week, my friend?
Man, a lot. I got a lot of stories I want to tell. Of course, Gramp sent a new story. I want to tell that. I went to a haunted house on Saturday, and the haunted house, that was uneventful, except for people yelling boo at you or whatever.
You but do somebody, this every year now, don't you?
I love it. They're terrifying. You won't go, right? Because Tawanda won't go, or is it that you that doesn't like it?
Tawanda won't go. She'll get scared.
Well, yeah, that's the idea, but obviously there's something that's appealing to being scared, or these things wouldn't exist, right? I think you're not legitimately scared, but I guess you are. Your adrenaline gets flowing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to one, so I'm curious.
Well, can I just tell my story real quick that, so a lot of people went with us, but one couple went with us is a girl that works for me, Barbara, and her boyfriend. And it's a long drive there, and then you wait in a long line to get there. So, you know, there's plenty of time to talk. And she's telling a story about when she grew up in Pasadena. There was a town that if you went down to the end of Mountain Road, far, far down, there was a town. It was called Midgetville. And I know that that's a non-PC term, but that's the name of this town, okay?
All right, Midget Town then.
So in this town, if you drove through it, all the houses were smaller with small doors. But not only that, the inhabitants of that town, they got mad when you drove through and they would chase you with bats and pitchforks and things like that. Now, this is a story that she told, right? So I go, well, that is completely bullshit, right? That's an urban legend. There's no such town, blah, 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 blah. So she goes, well, I'm going to call my friend. So they call the friend. Friend corroborates it. Oh, yeah, no, there's a town. And she starts explaining that they would come and so they'd set your car on fire and so forth, right? There's the town of, I guess, the PC term is, the correct term is dwarves.
Little Personville.
Little Person. But this town, and I go, well, this is ridiculous. But then, next thing you know, I Google it, and it's a real place. This really exists. So,
now,
if you don't, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Was it? Because you know how some places, like, you know, I talked about with Tuan and I in our apartment, all the Indians that would live there, that eventually, you know, as one Indian family lives there, another moves in, and then it just becomes, that's what it is. Did this start like that, or was it a planned little person community?
Here's an outline of Midgetville. A group of circus folks retired from the big tent and used their show business earnings to build a town to suit them. The houses were said to be perfectly proportioned, but tiny. The streets were built to a person's scale, while Midgetville is always located on the outskirts of a regular town, hidden so that locals couldn't disturb them. Someone always seems to know someone who's been there. On a dull night, groups of people always decide they want to go check it out. But take caution when you drive to the outskirts of the settlement. They say the car, hold on, will chase you and attempt to run you off the road. Or worse, crowds of tiny people armed with rocks and baseball bats and shotguns will come after you, hell-bent on doing you and your car some serious damage. Midgetville.
Okay, I still don't believe this.
Well, no, I don't either. But, I mean, she's telling the story, and clearly, when we were growing up, it was the goat man, right? How you know, somebody who was in a car accident and somehow a piece of metal got lodged in their head, and they were living out in the woods, and they were half goat now because it looked like a goat horn. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, I heard this story and I go, no, that's not. And then, of course, I read the urban legend that it is, in fact. And by the way, they even mentioned Pasadena, Maryland, which is exactly where she grew up in this weird Maryland article, Midgetville.
You live in an apartment with how many people are in your building? There's 4, 6 apartments, something like that?
No. There's 3 floors and each level has 4 different units. So 12. Okay,
12 units. At what point, how many different little people? Families live there before it's weird that you live there.
I don't know because I'm not living it, but I feel like if the whole thing was filled with little people, but I was the only regular sized person, I wouldn't care. I'm in my own apartment.
Yeah, but you're the weird one. You're the one they're looking at funny.
Well, I'm probably the weird one anyway. Can I tell you something hilarious?
It's our comedy show. Don't tell us something.
Are getting in our car and I'm driving and Katie gets in there and she sees a neighbor, getting in his car. She looks at him. She goes, oh, hi. And he goes, like he's in the door. Now, of course, just like a great boyfriend, I just started laughing. Like, what the hell was that? But still, it made me laugh. Right. Because right. I thought he didn't legitimately see her. That he was just reacting some other way. Like, you know how sometimes you can't really see through a window. But then Katie goes, no, he's done that before when she said hi to him. This guy just hates Katie, whoever the hell this guy is, the neighbor. He doesn't like her.
It's like Tawana's cat, rest his soul.
Very similar. But yeah, this guy, he's a black guy too. So maybe that's the issue. Maybe he doesn't like white people or hot white chicks. I have no idea. But yeah, he doesn't like Katie. I don't think he has a problem with me.
What if the little people were putting pressure on you to move out? They're like, look. There's 12 units here. 11 of them have us here. We want to make it a clean sweep. Come on, get out of here.
I would go to the front desk, you know, or the leasing office, and I'd say, hey, listen, I'm being asked to find a different place to live. I'm wondering if you guys can accommodate. And I try to get out of their hair. Why would I want to be someplace I wasn't wanted?
Well, it's a pain in the ass to move.
But can I tell you what I'd do instead?
You're going to be bullied by a bunch of little people?
You know what I would do instead? I'd try to win them.
How would you win them over?
I'd be like, hey, guys, I'm fun. I throw them up in the air, whatever they like to do. Toss them.
You tell them you're a comedian. You know people that have worked with Brad Williams.
Yeah, I say I know. I've worked with Brad Williams.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
Wear your Brad Williams t-shirt.
I think I told you that story. I work with, by the way, Brad Williams is a little person who's also a very funny comic, and I work with him at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. As a matter of fact, one time I walked into the green room, and, of course, the MC at the show was Alabama. He's a comic. He's MC on every show. I was the feature and Brad Williams was the headliner. There is a couch and there's a love seat in the green room. And Brad Williams was laying on the couch. So Alabama, who was a 300 plus pound black man, and myself, we were sitting together on the love seat while this guy laid on the couch. Like, are you just trying to be a dick?
Well, speaking of the factory, that and the Bethesda Hyatt, those were your two mainstay gigs, and you haven't been at either in a long time. And the Bethesda Hyatt is now the Bethesda Positano Italian restaurant. They moved locations. we were supposed to do this show this past Saturday. Originally, it was you, me, and Danny Ruye, a huge lineup. We did that a couple years ago. And turned out it's just me headlining, and you bailed. But I actually, Sue Fedor and her husband, Steve, the podcast listeners, they came to the show.
Oh, and now I feel guilty.
Yeah. And our good friends, Jen and Barry, were running it, who run it every other week. And it was their first time at this new location. And it was sort of a bizarre scene because I guess they don't know quite yet how to serve food and drink. And everyone kind of arrived at the same time, like 75 people all arrived within 10 minutes. So they were understaffed, and there were people that didn't have menus, and they got a menu, and then they hadn't ordered in like 30 minutes. And there was like a negative vibe in the room, which is, I don't want that because that's going to,
right?
They're going to take it out on me. So there's three comics than me. And at one point, Jen just gives me extra money and says, save the show. So, and I'm like, okay. Well, I was going to go up there and just shit on the service. But right before I do that, one of the waiters started talking to me. And he was so friendly. And his name was Rob. My name's Rob. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Did you say, why don't you stop talking to me and start helping people? Maybe that's the problem.
I said, look, I'm going to go up there and kind of shit on you guys because I want to win them over. And if I have to turn on you guys, I will do that. And I think he just thought I was kidding. And then I went up there and just shit all over them.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. I just said, this is like Saw 7. It's 75 people in a dungeon, one server, you know, are you going to kill the other table? And it's weird because they're all family style, these tables. So a table becomes, all those people are strangers, but now they're on one table. So that means they're a unified force of not getting served.
Did they like you, discussing the elephant in the room? They like that?
They did, yeah. That went over well. It ended up being a good show. There was a couple there that brought their 13-year-old daughter, and that did not stop me at all from telling incredibly dirty jokes. But no, it ended up being a fun show. So you should have been there, man. Could have helped save the show.
Yeah, you get on that.
But you didn't. But Eric Woodworth, Tommy Simbazo, and I went up to Syracuse, New York, the Funny Bone, to do stand-up on the Wednesday night, and then our murder mystery on the Thursday, and I recruited some locals and paid their sound guy to do it instead of bringing a guy. It's the most, you know, slimmed down crew cast we've ever had, but we made it work and it'd be a good show. Good turnout.
Well, before you, let me go before the show a little bit. Mm-hmm. I got a text from you on the night before the show, and Rob's, he's smart. He knows I don't pay attention to when the shows are, when I'm not in them. And of course, Rob sends me he sends me a text that says, don't ever let Eric drink before a show. And I go, why? Is it bad? He goes, if you consider him exposing himself and the cops being called bad. Now, of course, I'm fucking flipping out. Because, first of all, I'm worried about Eric, right? He's right. Exposed himself. The cops have been called. I'm worried about the show. Like, what does that mean for the show in that place? Also, what does that mean for Eric if he's exposed himself and he's not going to be able to keep doing the show? Like, all these things are running through my mind. Of course, Rob made it up. It wasn't true. The show wasn't until the next night.
Well, you didn't respond right away because I ended up going to sleep. Then I wake up. There's a text at 4:52 a.m. you saying, holy shit. Then at 7:02, you saying, call me when you wake up. Then I wake up at 9:13 and say, just kidding, murder show is tonight.
Yeah, and I had already told Katie, I had already told Justin, I had already told friend Erica. Like, I told a bunch of people. I mean, you're not going to believe this shit. Well, why not when they believe it? I'm telling them a story. Why would you not believe what I tell you? If I tell you something, it's true.
Well, it's funny because there was this very classic white trashy girl in the audience, and she was yelling shit out, you know. She was adding to the show by being an idiot, so it wasn't like it was bad. But she was yelling enough so that some people actually said she was the murderer when she's not even in the show. She didn't have a part.
Right, that's fine.
So of course, you know, at the end, we pick the few people that have the best team name, and then we draw, and we've been folding up the papers and putting them in Eric's, because he's wearing basically nothing, in underwear. And we had her come up, and she drew the paper out of Eric's underwear
with like mouth. I always do, yeah.
Yeah, she did it with her mouth, though. She,
oh my God, really?
Yeah. So she, and she, by the way, no hesitation.
It was this girl, the girl that you had mentioned that was on the Tinder date?
No, no, I'll get to her. This is, yeah, this is just some, the white trash girl in the audience. She had no qualms doing that. She reached in, no hesitation, grabbed it out.
Now, was she there with a date?
She was with a big group of people. So okay. They were all yelling and cheering her. I don't know if one was a date or not, but she was definitely there with a bunch of people and they loved it. They ate it up. So she had no qualms with that. So thank you for that. But we go afterwards, we go, you know, it's in this huge mall. And we go to this bar, World of Beers afterwards, and we're all just hanging out. And there's a girl next to us who wasn't at the show, and she was on a Tinder date, and she comes over to Tommy and she's like, "Oh my God, I love your mustache. Can I get a picture?" So she takes a picture, a selfie with Tommy and her with her mustache. So of course we start talking to her, and she quickly realizes that we're more interesting than her Tinder date. So she's talking to us for like 20 minutes. He's just sitting there, not doing anything. So eventually he comes over and tries to join us. And he was, God, he was so douchey. His name was Mikey C. That's what he went by.
That was it. Oh, so when he said, "Hey, I'm," you said, "I'm Rob," he goes, "I'm Mikey C."
Yeah, "Hey, I'm Mikey C." That's how he, now I don't know if that's just, he was hammered and he was amping it up, but that's how he was talking.
I would say, "Well, I'm going to call you Mike."
Yeah. Well, I was like, okay. So, you know, he's trying to get into the conversation and he's adding nothing. So we're just over, you know,
he's dominating.
We're dominating, right? So eventually he just goes back to his seat by himself. So after a while he comes over and he's like, you know, "Hey, we're on a date and, you know, we're not even talking to me." And they're having a little bit of an argument. And Eric and Tommy get like, this is weird. So they go in the bathroom together, like chicks. And then I'm just there. And then they walk out of the bar to continue arguing outside, out in the mall area. And Tommy and Eric come back and she left her cell phone. So Eric takes her cell phone, takes a picture of his balls, and takes it to her wallpaper.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, right?
What's it's foreshadowing from the night before. Foreshadowing. So she comes out, looks at her phone a bunch, never notices. Now, she was hammered, and I was watching the Nationals game, so I'm Tommy and Eric are doing most of the talking because I'm totally into that. They lost, if you didn't know. But
right,
she keeps like, "Who likes baseball?" And I'm like, "Okay, I don't care that you don't like it." So she says, "Yeah, I had sex with a Kansas City Royal." And I go, "Who?" And she goes, "I don't know his name." And okay, this is, white or black? White. Outfielder. So I'm, you know, I pull up their roster. I'm like, "Is it this guy?" Alex Gordon's the most famous.
Yeah, guy with the Gordon, right?
Right. And she says, "No." We never ferreted it out. So this guy, by the way, he could have just been saying he was a Kansas City Royal.
This is probably just he's probably like 70 years old.
Right.
I play for the Royals.
Sure.
In a baseball hat on.
I was like, "Where did you see him at?" And she goes, "Oh, it was Delaware." I said, "No, I don't think they're playing in Delaware." And it was Philly. Okay. They could have played the Phillies. Yeah. So she says, Tommy's like, "So was he hung?" And she's like, "No, his dick was like this." And she put her hands out, and it was huge. Like, what are you talking about? That's like there. And I'm like, and he's like, "Oh, so it was thin?" She says, "No, it was like two Milky Way bars." I'm like, "That's a huge dick you're describing." Man. Well, we're never going to hang out. So, the date, her date, Tinder date, ended up leaving. And then he tried to come back, and he fell on the escalator. He fell going up it somehow. And I don't know how he got home. I guess he Ubered it, but he was wasted. So
was that his ride?
They both, I think they Ubered separately and met there.
Oh, I gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah. So that's how that was our trip to Syracuse. Good times. Hopefully we'll be back. They want us back. I'll let you know. Marcus Serta didn't show up, but whatever, you know.
You said it's like a 4-hour drive.
Yeah. So what?
We'll drive here,
Marcus. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More Graham stories. Robbie has a story and a blast from the past. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your
song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 22nd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
So, Robbie, you email us. You do this every week, our little, what's on tap for the show, some topics. And you say, I have something to share under the heading, Don't Fuck with Robbie.
Yes, I'm
interested.
I'm kind of a control freak, as you know, and my I have a cleaning lady who comes in once a month. And
wait, what nationality?
She's white American. We've discussed her before. Her name is actually Katie.
Okay.
She's young girl. Anyway, she's cleaned my house for about 3 years. She used to actually clean the house in Manassas first. And she does a really, really good job. She's very reliable. And that's the biggest, hardest thing to find in a maid is find somebody who's just going to show up every week.
Sorry.
Show up. I know. That's so it's just hard to find somebody who's going to show up when they say they're going to show up.
Sure.
So this girl's pretty reliable. So when I moved to the new house, she's a little reluctant to do the new house because it's kind of a dry four. And I say, listen, I'll pay you more, whatever. Da, da. So we agreed on a price. So it's been like 2 years, right? But I could tell she was starting to starting to be a pain in the ass for her.
How far is the drive?
It takes about 35 minutes.
Oh God.
And so I could tell it was starting to be a little bit of a pain for her. And so it was just getting, and she wasn't finishing and she was having to come back and I could tell she'd brought her kid over one time, this kind of thing. So whatever. So finally she texts me and it's the day before she's supposed to come and clean the house. She texts me and she says, you're only a monthly client for me. I need to fill that second week, that second Tuesday of the month. It's very hard to do. Finding somebody else who only wants a month that most people want biweekly, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so this means you're not going to come anymore. I got to find somebody new. She said, yeah, it's just not going to work out. I said, okay, but are you coming tomorrow? Nothing. I hear nothing for hours. So I said, listen, I texted her. I waited like 4 hours. I texted her again. I said, listen, if you're not coming tomorrow, just say so. And she finally texts me back. She says, no, I'm sorry. I was taking a nap. I'm coming. I go, okay, great. So guess what? I wait for her because I'm going to get my key back. So I wait for her. Uh-oh. Now, I don't know if she came at all. I think maybe that call was to just ease out of coming at all. Maybe she didn't show up. Or she showed up and she saw my car and she's like, I kind of want the confrontation. Or she showed up and she had her kid with her and she didn't want that to deal with that. Whatever. I waited. She never came. So now I'm irritated and now I can't trust her anymore. So now I'm calling from every different kind of phone to get a hold of her.
Okay. Can you stop right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, do you want to guess how this ends?
Okay, let me think. Obviously, she ends up in tears. She's cleaning the house. By the way, the key be coming back, it means nothing. You just make a copy of it. You don't even think she want to steal from you. She could mail it back. That doesn't matter. You have to change the locks, right?
Okay, let's come up with four answers, and let's see if we'll try to guess which one, and we'll see if the closest. A, Robbie murders her.
That's not an option.
Okay. B,
but he threatens to go onto Yelp or social media and blast her, including this show. That happens, right?
Yes.
Yelp or what else? Findamaid.com or whatever the hell the site would be.
Right.
Or to call her employer. Maybe she works for somebody. Or call the people that she currently cleans for.
Okay. And does he get into an argument with her, a verbal confrontation?
Yes, of course he does. It might be over email. Oh, non-text? No. I don't believe that.
Non-text or email?
No text. Well, no. Yeah. You mean over the phone?
Yeah, over the phone.
Because he says he's trying to trick her into picking the phone up.
The phone or in person?
He does. He does on the phone. He does.
Does he say, never come near my house again.
Sorry. No, he doesn't say that.
Okay.
He says, I will ruin you. That he does say that.
Does he make a point to say that not only will he not recommend her services, he will go out of his way to tell people to not use her services?
Yes, and I also believe he mentions the Rob and Joe show.
Okay. Robbie
probably might even mention 98 Rock. No one.
He might. Absolutely. Go ahead, Robbie.
It did not come to that. Now, I was perfectly prepared to do any and all of those things.
Murder her.
Not murder her. And not tell her employer because she's self-employed. But the things about, you know, making her look bad in other people's eyes, I was prepared to do that if I did not, if she did not hand me my key back. I could have had her mail it.
Who's been driving 35 minutes for three years to clean Robbie's house. He's going to ruin her because she didn't show up one day to return.
Were you prepared to threaten her child?
What's the worst thing you would have done to her kid?
I had no intention of harming her kids in any way. I just, I wanted control over the situation now that she's screwed me. So, I wanted her to hand me the key. And I mean, listen, after 3 years, you have a certain amount of trust in it. You feel betrayed when the person doesn't show up after all that time.
Or you just find someone else.
And like we didn't let you sing karaoke, you felt betrayed. Go ahead.
I did. And I wanted her to hand me the key back. I didn't want her to stick it in the mail because then I'd be sitting there waiting. And then, you know, and I feel bad. My girlfriend feels bad. The key's out there. We just don't like the situation.
Robbie, you wanted her to hand it to you because you want her to look her in the eye.
I did.
Right.
I want you to feel like shit for not driving 35 minutes 12 times a year to clean my shitty house.
She got paid well. Okay. I paid her way above the normal amount. I paid her way above the normal amount to clean my house because she was driving that extra time.
All right. Finish this.
I treated her very well.
I don't
want to
get in trouble. Go ahead.
No, I'm just stating the facts.
All right. Okay. So how did this end up?
Did she know you love karaoke? Did she know that?
I have no idea. I don't remember ever discussing that with her.
Was she hot?
She was cute.
Okay.
Anyway.
If she was a 10, would this have gone down differently?
Nothing would have changed if she were a 10. She's like a 6.
Of course, no. I mean, I'm a relative. He doesn't change his behavior. Why do you think he changed it for her? Go ahead.
Well, you could have done something to an area where she normally cleans, you know.
Yeah, just take a dump in somewhere where
she's... No, I meant something sexual.
Oh, I got you.
She's a 10. But go ahead. Something that he might do to a beanbag.
Oh, did I leave that picture in there? Sorry.
So I want her to hand me my key and my check back. Because I sent her a check already to clean the house.
Well, that's fair. Okay. So you don't want to stop payment. You want to physically have
I don't want to pay the $35 to stop the payment.
How did it end up?
So I called her from a lot of different
house. I'm just kidding, guy.
I did.
Oh my God.
You drove to her house.
Yes. So
Jesus.
I called from several different phones. I called her from work. I called her, waited for her voicemail to pick up, then immediately dialed her number again. She picks up. I didn't ask her why she didn't show up. I stayed calm. I said, hi, Katie, it's Rob. I would like to get my check and my key back. She goes, well, I can just stick it in the mail. I said, I don't trust my mail service. I'd rather just grab it from you. My office is very close to your house. When can I stop by?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
She says, you can come by anytime after 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Perfect. Are you not home now? She goes, no. She's lying, of course.
Oh, my God.
She said,
you're outside her house.
Gave me permission to come by her house. So next day, I show up at her house at 8:15, and I sit there and wait.
Oh, my God.
And I scope it out.
Good God.
I scope it out. I see her car there. 8:55, she's bolting out the house to avoid me.
Oh, of course she's terrified.
Christ, any normal person would be doing that.
I didn't threaten her. I was calm on the phone. I just told
Bobby,
her I wanted
to. You understand that a man waiting outside in a car outside your house at 8:15.
She gave me permission to come to her house.
No, I'm not saying that she didn't tell you you could. She did give you a time, but clearly That you can't understand why somebody would be threatened by that.
Robbie,
she's obviously intimidated by you, man.
Every single movie where you have a guy that's like a stalker or something, he's not crazy. He's very calm and measured. You know what? I'm going to just be outside waiting for you. Hey, when you go to get coffee tomorrow, I'll just be outside. It's going to be
fine. She must have lost her shit. That's his tone.
She's terrified.
Her car. I mean, when you popped out of that car.
No, yeah. When I popped out of the car, when she was bolting out of there to avoid me at 8:55, the look on her face was priceless. I said, and she handed me the key. She handed me the check, and I went on my way.
Oh my God! All the scenarios other than murdering her that we talked about—that was worse. Is what you did.
did you get a lock of her hair? Were you able to do that?
Well, okay, she said anytime after 9. Why do you get there at 8:15?
Because I knew she was going to try to leave before I got there.
Can you imagine?
I was right.
I'd rather just change my locks.
Yeah, seriously. That's exactly what I would have done.
That would have been the easy thing to do, but she was going to pay because she didn't show up like she'd promised to do.
She is.
Do you think that these girls, that she knows other maids, and they get together and they talk about horror stories? But one time, this guy had some porn sitting out. I know he did it on purpose. Another time.
Wait till you hear this story.
She's got a story.
I cleaned this guy's house for 5 years. I used to drive all the way to Manassas, 35 minutes to get there. One day when my kids got too old and I needed to start picking them up from school and band practice, I called him and told him I couldn't do anymore. And he ended up showing up at my house and waiting for me outside. He pounced on me.
Don't fuck with Robbie Robinson.
Hey, Gramps in chat, smart move, Robbie. He's a Robbie apologist, is what.
Thank you, Gramps.
He will. It doesn't matter what Robbie does; it's correct behavior. Of course, Robbie should have sang.
God, it's terrifying. What you say you have a new Gramps story, Joe?
I do, and in addition to that, I have a story that's very similar to the one Robbie told. I don't know which one to go with, but let me before we get to the Gramps story, so. Katie and I went to St. Michael's a couple weekends ago. We went to a bed and breakfast, right?
I don't know where St. Michael's is.
It's on the Eastern Shore, and it's a nice little town with little shops and everything. You know, it's like a little preppy boat town or whatever, but they have good restaurants, good shops. We go there for one night.
It's not near St. Thomas. It's a different
thing. No. So we don't have any hot water, right? Okay. So Katie actually couldn't take a shower that night. She couldn't take a shower the next morning. So I go
She could have.
She could take a cold shower. Right? Yeah. So when we go to check out, I go, hey, we never had any hot water. She goes, well, you know what? You should contact the innkeeper to see if you can get any money off for the time you were here. So I go, oh, okay. I never think anything else. I'm like, I don't give that a second thought, right? I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, Katie's father, Katie told the story. Katie's father starts calling the place. Hey, this is Joe Robinson. He's representing himself as me. He's going, I was there and I am outraged about, and he is literally going off as me to try to get a discount from
this place. But acting like you.
Yes, but well, he wasn't acting like me. He was acting like him saying he was me, right?
Oh, I wish we could have recordings of this.
So they're like, they're like, okay, well, sorry, Mr. Robinson. You know, you'll have to talk to this person.
Who I am.
Next thing you know, he tells me this. And I go, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Don't do that or whatever. It's too late. It's already happened. I go, oh, shit, right? So not too long ago, let me see if I can find it. I might have deleted it. I'm trying to look here in my missed calls. I get a call. See if it's in here. Yeah, I must have deleted it. It said St. Michael's, Maryland.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, there's no fucking way in hell I'm picking this phone up. I'm not picking it up. I don't know what he said. I don't know what his complaint he lodged was. I don't know any of this stuff, right? So anyway, apparently they send back, and we have a free stay there at the bed and breakfast. But then Katie goes, well, because as you said, he goes, hey, you got a free week there, a free day there now. So Katie goes, well, does that mean they're going to reimburse his previous stay or that we have another stay? He goes, you know what? I'm going to find that out. So it's still going on.
Oh, God.
I'm either going to have a weekend. I'm sorry, another free night there, or I'm going to be reimbursed for the time that I had there.
Well, I think one or the other is fair, but I'm guessing you, Robbie, think both is what's fair.
I'm sorry, you are addressing me. I apologize.
Yeah, you think that you think that Robbie thinks that not only should I get a free, my last day be free, but then a new free stay. Is that what you think? You think
that's what I think.
I think you should get whatever you want. If you want to go back there, then that's what you should get. If you want just your money back and never see those people again, then that's what you should get.
Well, we had a great time. You know what I mean? It's not, Now, obviously, then, it was a little worse for Katie because she had not showered. She didn't get the shower because she hadn't showered. She showered that morning, and she's a girl, so it had been a day and a half since she showered. So that did matter.
Let's talk about
you were
the
wronged party. You were the wronged party, so you get what you get, what you feel is right to be reimbursed. And if you like staying at the place, then getting a free night there is a good thing.
No, I definitely think they should do something, but I would never ask for the night comp and then another free night.
No, of course not.
I would feel
not.
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, I know that's great that he did that, but who? I don't want him saying that stuff as Joe Robinson. Who knows what he's saying? You know what I mean? They're gonna see me. They're gonna put the head of their penis on my cupcake or something when I'm not. You know what I mean? They fuck with people like that.
They're gonna be listening to the radio with a friend and Joe Robinson. Oh, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, oh yeah, that dick. He started screaming at me. You know, he sounds a lot more Baltimore than I had thought, but.
So Katie didn't shower. I'm wondering how many days in a row does she not shower until you're not willing to have sex with her? Is there a number?
A lot of days.
Like, let's say it's Castaway, but it's Katie and she comes ashore after 5 years.
I think probably, right?
Are you good or you need to teeter to clean herself up?
Yeah, like, you mind hopping in the ocean for a couple seconds? Whatever.
No, seriously, a week, you're fine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fine, but I mean, you know, I mean, I would.
You'd rather do it than not.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, 10 days.
I mean, there is a point in time where she's not going to be willing to. Yeah, because of the amount. You know what I mean?
Well, she's not going to want to after one. I get that.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's say she didn't care. She's been working out.
I don't
out
know
stuff.
The answer. I mean, clearly the body eventually, you know, for me, if I go like one time I didn't shower until like later on in a day.
Yeah.
It was just disgusting. Now, she's not built like me. You know what I mean? She's not just going to be. But eventually you're going to like, hey, I can't. This is too much. Right.
I think Marcus will agree with me. It is not the body odor that is the issue. It's the shaving that is the issue. If a woman hasn't shaved her armpits and her legs after a certain amount of time, that's going to bother me way more than the smell.
OK, so you're saying hair is worse than smell.
100%. Marcus, don't you agree with that?
I don't necessarily agree 100% with that. It depends on the activity as well. I'm probably not going to dive in face first, but I will probably do.
Marcus
just
always
about,
goes there.
Yeah. Why are you so sure that Marcus would agree with you?
Yeah, I know. Rob's like, well, Marcus clearly likes
Marcus
hair better than you.
Is a man who appreciates the musk of a woman on occasion.
Did you talk about it over after?
Yeah, did you mention that at brunch?
Control? Did you throw that in the brunch?
I was on my list of topics. We didn't get to it.
I didn't bring any mints because I'm sure Marcus doesn't mind.
Okay. One in the pink, one in the stink.
Hey.
Oh, my God. There goes Marcus again.
God. You two are disgusting. I don't know. So body odor, I'm not going to get it. I can get past the hair. I can't get past body odor.
Yeah, but Katie's a good smeller, so it's going to be a long time before that happens. Well, but no, anybody but after 10 days, yeah, you're going to.
Eventually, it's going to be some issues. But
by the way, ESPN 1 is in chat again, but instead of giving us scores, he's just saying hello to people. He's just saying hello to people in chat.
There's no games are going on right now.
Well, game starts. The football game starts in 23 minutes, right?
Football game starts probably right now. But
that was my fault.
There's no update yet. Oh, real? I meant to add this to the girl on the Tinder date. She showed us her Tinder picture. Profile pic, a 10. Picture's a 10. In real life, she's a 7. And a 7 is good.
Yeah, but if you're expecting a 10 and then they show up as a 7, yeah. A 3-point drop off, that's bad.
You can't have that. I think people understand you're taking your best picture, so that's not how you normally look. But I don't think you're expecting a 1-point drop off. Maybe 1.5, but not a 3.
No, 3 is a lot. Because you know who's going after 10s? Guys that might warrant a 10. That's the other thing. I mean, if you're a 6, you might be able to pull a 7.
Right.
But if you're a 6 and a 10 is saying, I'll see you, then you're like, I'm suspicious.
But it's also your first impression. You meet, she's good looking, but, you know, she's not the 10 that I expected. That's how you're starting your date. That's never good.
Yeah. I guess you're right. You're expecting, if you don't get what you're expecting, it's almost like, have you ever, like, you thought you're picking up water, but it's root beer or something like that. Like, you're the wrong drink.
Yeah.
And then you taste it. Well, I love root beer. But if you're expecting water, the first reaction is disgusting.
Yeah. I love 10s. I got a 7.
I love 7s too. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
But I didn't have my eyes set for a 7. No, I understand.
But this is Tinder, not Match.com.
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
I'm sure Robbie agrees with me.
Well, my understanding is people use Tinder in order to hook up more than they do to date. So if you're out there and, you know, you think you're getting a 10 and a 7 shows up, you're still thinking you might get some. So really, does it matter?
It does matter initially whenever somebody looks way lot less hot than they represented themselves to be. It doesn't mean that you're still not trying to hook up, but there is an initial shock to get over, right?
Well, this girl, I mean, she would have hooked up with that guy if he wasn't a douchebag. I mean, that I think that was in the cards, and then he's probably blaming us, but I think it's his own fault.
He made his own bed.
He made his own bed to sleep alone in it. Yeah.
Hey, ESPN One is letting us know that the first pitch of tonight's baseball game is at 8:09.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He's given us like 2-day-old scores before. I don't know what's stopping him now.
Yeah. Who won the Redskins Ravens game? Can we play that clip? Because we had the post game. You put it up, and it was our best show. But right off the bat, Joe, you came out just mistake after mistake after mistake.
Came out swinging and missing.
Yeah. Can we play that, Robbie?
98 Rock.
I remember that play we just played because it happened during the first possession of the game, and the Ravens went on to score 3 more points as they lose to the Redskins. 16-10. I'm here with Rob Mayer. And, Rob, I really think that this game boiled down to special teams play. Both sides, they allow a long punt return to Crowder, giving the Redskins 7 points.
Six, that loomed large.
First mistake. Yeah, you're right, because there was a blocked PAT.
Yeah.
And then themselves try to fake a punt and instead get 0 points out of that. Those three points would have been pretty big, considering they were on the 20-yard line. Could have tied that game up. Instead, stopped on downs, and they end up losing the game. They could have won this game about 50 different ways. They stopped running the ball completely. I have no idea why. They
introduces me, but doesn't let me
in
talk.
The second half, they had 5 completions and 5 punts. That was with 2 minutes and 28 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I have no idea. By the way, it was a Jekyll and Hyde. I'm usually not very critical of Flacco.
It
was absolutely atrocious in the second half. And this is a time where there wasn't a lot of drops. Balls thrown at receivers' feet. Ball thrown too far. Balls thrown behind.
It was a
very,
game.
Very frustrating performance.
If you told me that...
I had to step in. All right.
It's your turn.
Well, because you said 7 points when it was 6. You said...
Right. Blocked PAT when it was a missed PAT. And I said fake punt when it was a fake field goal. Only 3 mistakes. What's the big deal?
But after that, we crushed it. I just, you know, wanted to, you know, that was our old... What was our old segment we used to do? Where we'd say wrong
what
things.
What was that? Language mangler.
Yes. That wasn't language mangling, but it was facts mangling. God, if you did that, we'd have 7 a show. Can you imagine?
Yeah, at the end of PTI, they have the stat boy who comes in and says the things that they said wrong. Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
Our last segment would be stat boy, our last 20-minute break. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to that Gramps story. Rob and Joe, should be right back.
What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher, same deal with Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show. Download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, it's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you happen to see me on the street, be cordial, offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on, give us 5 stars, write us a review, tell every friend you know to listen to the show, give us lots of money at robmerritt@gmail.com on PayPal, come to every single murder mystery show, come to every single comedy show, see the pie plate closer, give a standing ovation, and then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So what's up in the world of Gramps, Joseph?
Okay, let me read this here. One time, I saw this woman sitting on her steps, and there was a stripped area on the street in front of her. I don't know what that means, stripped area. It doesn't matter.
I mean, probably means striped area.
It says STRIPPED.
You know how his mind thinks.
Okay, anyway. I pulled into that area and asked her if she needed to talk to me about life insurance. Of course, my father sells insurance. As we talked, a cop car pulled up behind me with its lights flashing. Two female cops got out and came to my car. One angrily asked me what I was doing, and I told her we were talking about life insurance. She asked for my driver's license and registration. I returned to the car to check my record. At that time, another cop car pulled up and stopped behind her. She went back and spoke to the driver, finding nothing on my record. Well, that's clearly not true. But anyway, finding nothing on my record, she returned. I guess he means not his driving record, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. Finding nothing on my record, she returned to me and returned my license and registration. She said, "You are parked illegally." I said, "I'm not parked." She said, "Yes, you are." I said, "Officer, my motor's running and my car is in gear. I'm not parked." She walked away disappointed. I knew she thought I was soliciting prostitution because I had been stopped there 3 other times. When I stopped beside a woman and asked them if they wanted to talk about insurance, I guess they don't often see old white guys approaching young black women. No, they don't see that.
No.
So he was, it appeared that he was soliciting prostitutes, but instead he was selling them life insurance and the cops almost arrested him. But the funny part of that story is that if they went back and looked at his record, Gramps one time told me he had 40 points on his license. I'm not kidding. 40 points. That's honest to God. My father said he thinks he's been pulled over 100 times.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's black, he would have been shot by now, probably.
Oh, he'd be dead if he was black. Yeah. That's a fact.
Well, I think what we're learning is that if you look like Gramps and you're in these areas, you're either doing what he's doing, and he's the only guy doing it, selling insurance, or you're looking for prostitutes.
How many times do you think that he was able to talk to somebody because they were a prostitute that thought they were going to make some money, and that's the reason they were originally allowed him to, you know, to talk to him, and then once he's in there and he's got his hooks in him, it's too late?
I bet that happens almost every time. And they're probably thinking, I mean, all right, I'll play along. This is this weird little role-playing thing. I get what you're doing, old guy. You're going to sell me something. Okay. Here's some insurance. And they play along with it. And then by the end, he's such a good salesman, I guess, that they've been convinced.
They bought insurance.
Yeah.
Instead of making money off of them, they've lost money to them.
We need to see Gramps. You know, on 98 Rock, we'll send a listener or someone with the show to the brothel out in Vegas. The one they always talk about.
Yeah, the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah.
It's actually in Reno, right?
Yeah. We should send Gramps there just to sell insurance.
Yeah, to sell insurance to the prostitutes. That's a good idea. He goes in because they, when you first go in, they line them all up.
Yeah.
And you get to kind of choose, but he just goes by and he goes, "Hey, how are you doing on a fire, whole life, term, whatever?"
I think that would be awesome.
We first have to get Gramps an insurance license in Nevada.
Oh, he could do that. There's no problem. He's Gramps.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Our good friend who we never met, but Beth Hoyle, she's like Mag Bergson, has started listen to us, I guess, on TMOS, and then listened to a few episodes. Said, "Hey, I want to catch up from the beginning," and I think she's starting to realize that maybe we're douchebags. She goes, "You didn't like Good Will Hunting, dude," and so we had a little back and forth about that, and I'm thinking maybe, you know, like at the end of Seinfeld where they show like all those ways that they've screwed people.
Yes, they all just show up at the trial. Yes.
Right. And I guess if you look at it like that, these people were horrible people. So maybe by her listening to them back to back to back, maybe we're coming off as just bad people. Not cool.
But she's right about, I don't know anybody that didn't like Good Will Hunting. I legitimately don't.
Well, I said to her, look, I love Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, so it must be a Robin Williams thing. And then she says, blasphemy. And I, you know, here I thought I knew you. And of course, once I said that I like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, Chris Restivo says, you would. They're both super liberal. LMAO. And I say, I've never been called liberal, let alone super liberal. Now you have, laughing my ass off, hashtag Robin Joe Show. Okay.
So just so you'll know, let me go into my Facebook here, if I may. Tim Moran sent me a link. I shouldn't look at that right now. Oh, never mind. That's something else. Okay. I'm looking at my friendships here, and Chris Restivo and I are friends as of, sorry for the delay. He sent me a friend request, which I accepted.
Nice.
On, I think it was this past weekend. Here it is. Oh, I didn't confirm it yet. Sorry. Confirm. Sorry, Chris. I'm friends with him as of right now.
Well, he sent you a message on Facebook that saying, you know, that he was sorry, that he hopes you two can make up. It's funny because when I was driving up with Tommy and Eric to Syracuse, we all drove together, and we were using my phone hooked up to Eric's Bluetooth in his car, and I was playing music because Eric had said he didn't know the song Wishing Well, which Tommy couldn't believe.
Wow, that's hard enough.
So I have it. I play Wishing Well. He goes, oh, I know that song. I thought it was by Tina Turner.
Hold on one second, guys. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, it's me, Chris. Just want to apologize for everything and hope we can be cool again. Hope all is well. I'll see you.
There you go. Chris Restivo reached out. Now, I had already told him I was okay with him on this show prior to that.
Yeah, I know he listens. What else is he going to do? I'm glad you guys are friends. It's good.
And the Vikings are good. Things are really coming up for Restivo.
Oh, he's coming. He's killing him.
Fucking douchebag.
Yeah, there was that. That's in the past.
So what I did then, because I was using my Bluetooth, I started going into my Facebook messages with Chris, and I played like every message he's ever sent me. And it included that one. It included the one, the Merry Christmas one, and how he says he's you know, Joe, what? I'm not going to bang your wife, your ex-wife.
I forgot about that.
Right. They go back like years. But we had a lot of fun at Eric's expense thinking that that was Tina Turner referencing Thunderdome starring Terrence Trent D'Arby. And all the times Ike Turner beat the fuck out of Terrence Trent D'Arby. So on Facebook, you know, I guess Amy Schumer did a show and she told some jokes about Trump and supposedly people walked out. I don't even really believe any of that. People walked out, but the number 200 was thrown out. So all I did was post 200 people walked out of Amy Schumer's show last night. Must be nice to have at least 200 people in the audience. But then it turns into people talking about, you know, should a comic tell jokes about politics? I'm like, it's about me, folks. This is not a real conversation. This is a stupid joke. I'm being self-deprecating. And then it got into a real conversation. I'm like, I can't. No, you can't.
I don't
even
believe for stuff. For 2 seconds that 200 people walked out of Amy Schumer's show. Not because they were offended. I just don't believe that.
Well, I bet 200 people walk out if you have 10,000 people there just as normal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. She's playing arenas. She's not playing the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
No, so that wouldn't be abnormal. They could have just not thought she was funny. She was too dirty. I don't know. But it turned into this whole thing, and then Restivo started calling Schumer the C word, and I had to delete his comments.
Did you see the picture that Amy Schumer put up on Twitter earlier?
No.
People walking out.
The headline says, "Today, please wear orange for gun safety." And it's her in a very tight top and nothing else.
Hey. Really?
Yes.
You mean her bush is showing?
No, but you get an angle of her ass, so you get to see her.
Oh, like curve. A side view, but she's like nice. A big girl, right?
Well, she's not a Hollywood thin girl, but she's a regular size girl.
She's voluptuous. I think she's beautiful.
I think so. I think she's
didn't say she wasn't beautiful. Yeah. I didn't say that. I'm now Googling Amy Schumer naked.
So I'm doing this show Thursday night in D.C. at Beer Baron. It's like a game show. It's called Specific Ignorance. It's run by Chris Milner. I don't know if we never really spoke about him. He's a British guy.
Yeah, he's funny. I like him.
Probably gets a lot of chicks because he's tall, good-looking, and British. And our buddy Tuck Moffat is on the show. And basically, there's three comics, and you're supposed to give a topic that you claim to be an expert on. And then the crowd asks you questions about that topic. Now, it's not interesting if I actually give a topic that I'm an expert on, which would be something sports related, and that's it. So I decided that my area of expertise, my topic, was childbirth. So okay. Thursday night, I will have the audience asking me questions about childbirth, which sounds a lot funnier than me just getting Redskins trivia correct.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but there is something you're an authority on that might be funnier than just being knowing a lot about sports.
Like, well, what?
I don't know. I just learned about this 10 seconds ago. I'm also right now currently looking for pictures of Amy Schumer naked. I don't see the picture you're referring to. By the way, she shows off her body a lot.
I sent you the picture via Facebook.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, here I go.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, nice work. I'm all for gun safety. Does that bother you, Robbie? Gun safety? You want gun danger?
I don't know if she's pro-gun or anti-gun, but that's a pretty good-looking picture.
So if you look at pictures of her on the internet, this does not look like her. Her head isn't in this picture.
Well, sorry. Sorry, I know you're a big face guy, Joe.
Yeah, but I mean, her boobs, this doesn't even look like... I'm not buying this.
All right. So, Joe, you sent me something today. Couldn't tell what it was by text, just a link. I go to it. Says 6 Indian Americans to be recognized at, I don't know what this is, but NFIA's biennial convention in Seattle.
I mean, it sounds like a big deal.
Well, let me describe some of the people. Harkarat Singh Dhillon for public service and philanthropy. He's founder and president of the Riverside International Film Festival. He's produced a Hollywood feature. He's the author of 2 books of poetry. He has an endowed PhD research fellowship in Sikh and Punjabi studies at University of California, Riverside. Jagdish Sharma is a member of the Ethnic Heritage Council in Seattle since 2007. This was conferred the Spirit of Liberty Award by EHC in 2013. He founded the Indo-American Friendship Forum, was his chairman. Ramayu Mamadala, a BA from Osmania University, M.Tech from Indian Institute of Technology, New Delhi, a PhD from University of Washington. His professional contributions reflect multidisciplinary technical leadership in advanced aerospace materials, mechanics, and manufacturing engineering.
Pretty impressive.
He has published more than 350 technical papers. Sunil Singh, an engineer who owns a chain of 6 pizza shops and a few tropical smoothies of cafe franchises.
I do like tropical smoothie, yes. By the way.
His real estate holdings include 40 businesses located in Washington, D.C., New Jersey, and Texas.
Jeez.
He has been mobilizing the community and helping the community organizations through his participation and donations. Then we have Vishwa Prasad, a professional manager and visionary CEO. He has been a role model for many of the brightest minds that comprise the successful company People Tech Group. He went on to acquire Ramp Group 2009 and Lipta and CodeSmart. He also acquired Make Your Career in 2012-13. He's a big IT guy.
So these are all big people in the business community, philanthropical work.
Yes, very
doctorates. Right, okay.
Joining them to be honored, comedian Dan Niner.
Oh, come on.
So read his credits. This is so great.
Dan Niner, the performing arts. Niner, an Indian American with Japanese roots too, and an engineer with Intel Corporation, got his start by taking a comedy class to overcome nervousness on stage. An accomplished musician, he sings and plays piano/keyboards, guitar, and drums. He's Prince. Okay.
By the way, those are just his hobbies he's listed. He doesn't do any of those professionally. Nobody's ever seen him do this. I did see him play the violin on YouTube once.
Featured in The Hoax, that's funny, with Richard Gere. Slumdog Millionaire, also funny.
Wasn't in Slumdog Millionaire.
But he was in The Hoax.
He said he was in Slumdog Millionaire. I mean, do these people even fact check? Can you just say, why don't I be in it? Now they say, I was born in the Taj Mahal, and I have a doctorate.
Yeah, featured in it. You know, the word featured, it means something.
Yeah, it means that you're prominent in it.
Right. Your role has been highlighted. You're not
in Slumdog Millionaire. That was filmed in India.
Well, he's Indian American. Joe, he was featured in it. When they won Best Picture, he should have been up on that stage.
I just looked at IMDb. He was not in that movie.
Look, it says it right here. Featured in The Hoax with Richard Gere, Slumdog Millionaire, and The Daily Show. Niden has also starred in commercials for Apple, NBC, MDA Television, and Nickelodeon.
He was on The Daily Show?
Featured. He has toured 28, entertaining the likes of CEOs Microsoft, Adobe, and MasterCard, according to the NFIA.
God, can you believe he snowed these people into giving him an award? I mean, come on.
NFIA, by the way, is the National Federation of Indian American Associates.
Do they even look? Do they vet these people in any way?
No, obviously not.
God, I mean, if you're willing to, I mean, Dan is right. If you're willing to just lie, I mean, you can be anything you want to be. I mean, I'm surprised he doesn't have an Academy Award.
Well, if there's a movie about Dan Niden, it would win an Academy Award.
It would if you did a documentary.
Yeah, it would. So if you're in, it already happened. It happened September 30th to October 2nd. We missed it. We couldn't have
won. Oh, man.
That would have been awesome next time.
That is displayed prominently next to his Grammy.
I'm sure there'll be other awards he'll be winning. This Saturday, if you're in Winchester, Virginia, I know we have some listeners down there. Two shows at the beautiful Bright Box Theater. The Sing for Your Life, our karaoke-themed murder mystery. We went there, I guess, in July. We had a sold-out show, so we're hoping...
Standing room only, shows.
Yeah.
That's a great room. I like our chances to fill those up. So if you're in that area, grab tickets early.
Yeah, definitely. I know I have some friends coming down to spend the night and have a little birthday weekend celebration for... So it should be a good show. Anything else going on? We're getting into November and December. We're going to be pushing a lot of Christmas-themed murder mysteries. We'll be talking about that soon. But go ahead, Joe.
I will be on 98 Rock at the 7 a.m. hour this Wednesday. So why am I even doing this? You won't get this out by Wednesday, will you, Marcus?
Yeah, I'll get it out.
Okay. Well, if it gets out and you're listening, then at 7 a.m. hour, I will be debating Scott Reardon on the merits of the zipper merge.
This is still a thing.
It is. And it's never. I was asked to do it. I'm going to do it.
Where do you line up?
Well, first of all, I don't want to tip my hand, but I'm on the anti-zipper merge side. But it's the only way to merge. You understand what I'm saying? So I have to kind of build my argument around the idea that it's not possible to do it. It's utopian. You follow?
So you're saying if you knew everyone would follow the zipper merge rules, you would be down with it. But because people won't, you have to just thin out the herd and go for it.
Well, it's the only way to do it. What are you going to say? That I don't want people to go one after the other. I want it to take longer. Like, what's your argument otherwise?
You sound like a terrorist.
Yeah. Are you for world peace?
Nah, not really.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, yes, everybody. Clearly, the zipper merge is the best way to merge. I understand that.
Well, have fun with that. It sounds like it's going to be a great episode of 98 Rock, Justin Scott.
It's funnier than traffic.
Yep. Let's get out of here. See you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.